Good evening, everyone. This is John Adolfi, and welcome to our January event. It is what? January 20th, right?
20th.
12 day, Tom House says. 2015, sorry, and it's 7 p.m., and we're getting started on time. And we are going to talk about the ABCs of HUD home buying. Before we get into our PowerPoint presentation here, which is the three words you must know to absolutely explode your income in 2015, I want to give you just a real brief overview about HUD homes. Now, I'm going to pretend that you guys know nothing about HUD homes, but I'm going to go briefly through this so that I'm not going to totally bore the people that do know something about it and yourselves as well. HUD homes are an FHA loan was, okay, let me back up. When a buyer has a choice between loans, they have conventional mortgages and they have FHA. FHA is usually considered a first-time home buyer loan. Okay. The reason why the advantage for FHA loans is there's less of a down payment, 3.5% versus the 5% that's typical for conventional mortgages. So on a $100,000 house, you got to come up with $1,500 less money. And the owners of the home that you're buying can kick into your kitty more money to help pay your closing costs. Up to 6% for a $100,000 house, that's $6,000. So if your typical closing costs on a conventional property is $14,000, it's going to be about $6,000 or $7,000 when you get all said and done with a FHA mortgage. You can see why it's easier for somebody to be able to find a house. It's also going to not thin out the pack as much as far as qualified people. And so you're going to see perhaps a higher percentage of HUD failures or FHA failures. When a mortgage fails, meaning that they do not pay their mortgage more than 3 months, they begin the process of foreclosure, and after 1 to 4 years, and that's the typical climate here in New York State, used to be a year to year and a half or so before 2010. After 2010, it's 1 to 4 years. The bank now forecloses, which is a legal action on the owners. The owners are now booted. After a court action, courthouse steps, they're done. The bank acquires the property back unless somebody at the courthouse steps bids $1 more than what's owed the bank. But typically, the bank is owed so much that it's not prudent for anyone to buy it at the courthouse steps. So what happens after that is it goes to the bank, they acquire it, then they go, ah, FHA. You guys, you the government, insured this loan. Here you go. And then the government gets their bailout on one property. And now the government owns the house, a former FHA mortgaged house. And they give it to their HUD division. And HUD then brings it into their division, sends out an appraiser who appraises it, finds out what the market value is on the property in its as-is condition. And I'm going to answer some questions before you ask them. They do not take in consideration the past that was owed on it. So if $100,000 was owed on it and it's only worth $50,000, they're going to put it on the market for $50,000. Okay? They do not look back. They just look forward. So HUD then through their agencies, their appraiser, and listing agents for HUD, and we're one of them, then they market the property, and this is what we're going to be doing tonight, is learning how they market them and what an incredible marketing system they have. I have to say one thing to anybody who's listening here, and you guys, you folks tonight, the realtors out there, I just want to let you know right off the bat, they typically hate HUD homes. They hate them.
They hate to call you back, too.
Well, Tom, whether they call you back or not, that's another complaint that I hear from people, but they don't like doing HUD homes. Why? Typically, the reason why they don't like doing HUD homes, and they've told me this, the paperwork is proprietary. They don't like doing it. It's unlike anything that's out there. And they don't like how much they get paid. And it's complicated. The average realtor is 57 years old in the United States. They never got over the hump when HUD was in its early days, and as a result of that, they never learned how to do them. They don't do enough of them. They don't like doing them. They will steer you clear. I have one guy up in Pulaski, and his name is Fred Jensen. And Fred told me that he went into Fulton and went to two real estate agencies, and he said, I've got cash, I want to put an offer on the property. And they said, Mr. Jensen, we will facilitate any offer on any property that you want, but we will not do the HUD home. He had to go to two agencies before somebody finally did it. I think it was on his third try. I mean, that's how, yeah, cash here, I just want to put commission in your pocket, just write it up. No. Alright, so, because people ask, well, and Steve was asking me just, I think it was yesterday or today, why would this house not sell? This is one of the huge reasons why a property HUD home doesn't sell. Because the realtors out there don't want to do anything with it. Alright, so long time ago in 1988, I got over this hump, and I love doing them. I just absolutely love them. They're my favorite thing to do. They're not my only thing, but I love doing these. Okay, so that's a brief overview. Now, we're going to get into how you go about, you know, getting a HUD home. Now, first thing you want to do, for those of you who are serious about either buying a house or investing, you're going to want to put this website in your favorites. It's www.hudhomestore.com. www, that's all singular, hudhomestore.com. Once you get there, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a website with a map to the right in blue. And what you want to do is just put your cursor over the New York state area, over to the right, click on it, and then put that in your favorites. This is how I do it. It saves time because I go to the HUD site anywhere between 1 to 10 times a day just to see what's going on.
Can you go to any state?
You sure can. You can go to any state you want. So if you're looking for a HUD home in another state. And let me just talk real briefly about those of you who want to buy a HUD home in another state. Can I advise you on how to do it? Yes. Is my book, HUD Home Buying Secrets, relevant to other states? Yes. And can I actually help you? Can I sell you a house in another state? No, I'm not licensed. But I'll be happy to coach you through the whole process. And you can find the information on HUDHomestore.com. And typically you're going to want to go to the listing agent that listed it. They're going to know more about it. And they're going to be happy to take your offer. Whereas other realtors, just be suspicious that they may not want to. Okay. So, let's go straight to the HUD site. So here we are, we see that there's 55 listings in the New York State right now, and that has dropped down considerably just from a few weeks ago. Let's deal with Russell Road here, okay? 200 Russell Road, and for those of you who are listening to this, if it's not too far into the future, you're going to be able to go to the HUDHomestore.com, go to the New York State site, and you're going to be able to find 200 Russell Road, which is a single-wide mobile home. And right now I'm going to go to that property case number, the 371-198-308. You'll see that in blue, hyperlinked. I'm going to click on it, okay? And what it's going to do is it's going to open up. So the whole page is just the listing. And as you can see, there's a lot of different information here. What I want to dwell on tonight is the listing period. But as you can see, you've got the address, how many bedrooms and baths, how many rooms, square footage, the year that it was built, property design, driveway, homeowners association fees, when it was originally listed. Okay? And what period, listing period it is in, and the list price. Okay. So, the listing period, we're going to deal with these. You see this one says extended? There's three listing periods. And you guys really should know these, because this is where you can make your money, by knowing this stuff. Because nobody else knows this stuff. Well, they're starting to learn, but I'm just saying, though, that this is where you are going to excel. All right. The three words you must know to absolutely explode your income in 2015. Here's an update. Check this out. January 2011. What happened? These are actual numbers. These aren't made up numbers. These are the real deal here. Just the other day it was 75. So you see where the trend, see what's happening? For the longest time, this number hovered between this and this. It got down to 13 one time, and it didn't get much. It didn't get over 50 through 2014. Okay, this didn't change. Only in the last 3 months has it changed. They're starting to release them. This is what this means to you, the fact that they're releasing them. More inventory, more opportunity. More opportunity, more chance you can buy something to flip. Tom, let's talk about this for a second. I sold Tom a HUD home off of West Genesee Street. Was it in Solvay, or was it getting towards Solvay, or was it just...
It was actually
Camillus. Camillus, okay. And what did you pay for it?
Paid $14,700.
Did you really? Oh, I don't feel so bad now. You paid $14,700 for kind of a ranch style something or other. It was kind of unique.
Best description, something like
that. Yeah. And it was on a slab, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, it was kind of, wasn't sure what it was. You weren't sure if it was a mobile home that was added on or what, right? Because it kind of looked just kind of a little bit strange. But Tom bought it for $14,700. He fixed it up, was all excited. I'm going to sell this. I don't know if you listed it with me at first or how that worked. Did you list it with someone else before?
Somebody,
yeah, you listed it with someone else. And you put it on the market for, I think, $69,900, was it?
Yep.
Yep.
Assessed value was $65,000.
Assessed value $65,000.
He put
$30,000 into it.
$44,000 into it.
Okay, so he's got $44,000 into it. He's all excited. He's got it listed, you know, $69,900. And nothing happened. And you kept lowering it. What did you get it down to before?
$45,000
he lowered it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to get his money, and what happened?
Yeah, I sat on it for a whole year.
Sat it on for a year, whole year. Now, let me tell you what happened. In 2000, Tom closed on this in 2011, first part of 2011. And what we didn't know is that the market shifted. I don't know if it's so much the market shifted, but the lack of inventory prevented us from getting even better deals. Now, you can't get too much better than 14.7, but Tom did have to put a lot of money into it, and it was in a quote-unquote good area, you know? But the problem was is that the market, I guess, for flipping shifted after 2009. And in 2010 and beyond, there was less inventory, so even though Tom got it for cheap, there seemed to be this, like, stuck in the mud kind of situation for flipping. You weren't able to get them low enough, okay, to be able to put just enough into it to be able to realize a profit. Now, when my father-in-law and I were doing them, we did 9. We ended up netting $20,000 to $40,000 per property. And that's a pretty good chunk to make on it. When you can't do that, though, then it's like you're stuck either breaking even, like Tom was trying to do. Tom, the story doesn't end there, though. What happened after you couldn't get anybody to buy it?
After a year, I finally woke up and said, "Hey, I've got no income. I'm paying the taxes. Taxes are $2,000 a year." So I decided I'd rent it. Rented it for $875.
You rented it for $875.
So I now had an income. It was making a profit at that. But he wanted to buy it. We had a fire, so I made probably $20,000 on the fire. Because he did a lot of fixing up. So let's say I made $20 there.
Okay.
And I cut a deal with him to knock $10,000 off the price and sold it to him for $60. So at $70, sold it for $60. Assessed value was around 71,000, I believe. So I used that as a like-kind exchange. I used, instead of taking the profit on it, I bought 4 properties from John, and it paid for 3 or 4. And I didn't pay any income tax.
So let me just sum that up. He had a fire. He had a tenant in there, was making $875 an hour. The tenant was in there. There was a fire. He got $20,000 with the fire. He lowered the price $10,000, sold it for $60, and ended up using that money to turbocharge his investment portfolio by buying additional properties.
Now that $875 will go a month. Will in turn make $5,000 a month once I have all of these finished.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to start somewhere. Tom is saying that is $875 turned into $5,000 a month with rentals by buying additional properties. So yeah, it's a chess game. And so when this number, 75 HUD homes in New York State, travels back up to there,
that's January.
No, that was how many in January there were. Not that this many came in. Sorry. This is how many there are total in the entire New York State. That's why 16 in 2012 was pathetic. 16 properties in all of New York State. That's bad. Do you know how many? Listen, I've been doing this since 1988 with the HUD homes. And I track stuff. And in Onondaga County, Every year, for two decades, there'd be anywhere between 200 to 300 HUD homes, just HUD in Onondaga County. In Oswego, 100, 150, right around there. That's a lot. That's like a HUD home a day. So these numbers are pathetic. When those numbers get back up there, you guys can do this full time. You can just look at HUD's full time. You don't even have to look at anything else. I'm serious. In 2009, when that number was up there like that, I sold one guy 19 HUD homes in 1 year. Because he flips. Very effectively. But I haven't sold him diddly since then. Okay? So when that number starts to rise, okay. So what does it all mean? There's a break in the dam, finally. They had said at one time in the United States there was 4 to 6 million of the shadow inventory, which means that those properties that are still needing to go through foreclosure that are in the process of foreclosure, they call it the shadow inventory. All right, that shadow inventory in many states has caught up and they've gone through the court systems and they foreclosed. New York State, we're still waiting for some indication that that is taking place. There are more now than ever going through the court system, but I don't know where all these... I mean, think about it. 200 to 300 in Onondaga County, where are they? Well, you see them every day. When you drive by and you say, hey John, what about this abandoned property over here? It's one of them that are going through it. More HUDs mean more opportunity and lower prices. And I'll explain in a second. Okay, here's the first status that a property goes through. It's called lottery. Lottery, you don't get excited about nothing. You just kind of wait it out. Lottery means that for uninsured homes, it means that properties with more than $5,000 in repair, they'll call it an uninsured or UI. You'll see it on the website. Uninsured homes, all of them go through a lottery period. So it doesn't matter if it's in Radisson or down on the south side. If it's uninsured, it goes through a lottery period, and that means that the people who can that can bid on lottery during the 7 days are non-for-profits and government-owned agencies. How many properties get snatched up during the lottery period? Kind of depends where it is, but typically, almost zero. Almost zero. So you really don't have to get too excited when it's going through the lottery period. Insured homes, those are in pretty good shape. They start in the lottery period if it's in some sort of like revitalization zone. Okay? So a property has the chance of going through a lottery period when it first comes out. Exclusive is the next period. Now, exclusive is for owner occupants. Investors, no bidding. If it's uninsured, it goes through the lottery period, 7 days. Then 5 days after that for owner-occupants if it doesn't sell. Okay? 7 days lottery for uninsured beat-up properties, and then 5 days after that for owner-occupants. That means they tally up any offers that come in for those first 7 days, which usually is none, for the government-owned, government buyers or not-for-profits. Then once that period ends, it goes into exclusive period. So that means only owner-occupants, an owner-occupant defined by HUD is someone who is someone or someones who are going to live there as their primary residence for 1 year. Okay? 5 days. These are for the uninsured properties, the beat-up ones. The exclusive period can also begin, if it's not in a revitalization zone and it's an insurable property, it's only 10 days. There's no lottery. It's a 10-day bid period. 10 days if there is, it's not beat up and not in a revitalization zone. So they start it off as exclusive, means owner-occupant onlys for 10 days. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because then you can look and you can read this like a map. And you understand exactly where the property is at. Okay? Now, once it goes through the lottery and exclusive, it never goes back to a lottery and exclusive. It never goes back. So once it's initially launched and it goes through this and it's done going through that, it's not. It goes to the next step, which is investor bid. The investor bid is called the, it's not on there, that's okay, extended. Extended is the investors when everybody can bid. It's extended. You know, when they first changed this to this, I didn't really like it because exclusive extended, they both start with an E, and it gets confusing. But the extended period begins on the 11th day or the 13th day, depending if there's a lottery bid period in there or not. So on the 11th day and the 13th day, okay, you have the opportunity as an investor to bid.
Does that start after the lottery period? Or excuse me, after
the exclusive period? Yes, it does.
Okay.
So it either goes lottery, exclusive, extended, or exclusive, extended.
Okay.
Either. It's either one. So it's either 10 days and then the investors can bid on the 11th, or, and by the way, after it gets done with its 10 to 13 day bid periods there, then the bid periods are daily. So, Strategy number one is the property is beat up, it's hot, it's underpriced, and an investor really needs to pick this up. You go take a look at it during the lottery and exclusive period and you get ready. When do you want to bid? When should the investor bid? On the 11th or 13th day. Not the 14th day and the 12th day. Why? Might be gone. Or let me say this. Somebody else who has been sleeping wakes up on the 12th and the 14th day and goes, "Hey, what's up with that?" You won't even give them a chance to do that. You don't give them a chance. You're there. Now, being there means you may have some competition, and we'll talk about that. But it's better being there than it is being the one that wakes up on the 12th or 14th day and discovers it gone. What happened? And you guys don't have to know that it's available for bid that very day. That's my job. I watch over the HUD site like a hawk. I have ever since 88. Before the internet, they gave us sheets that they mailed out once a week. And I've only missed 2 weeks since 1988. I don't know what the circumstances were, but I missed 2 weeks. So what does that mean? That means your job is to look at the HUD site, is to open up the videos and watch them when I send them out, examine it. 5 minutes, you're going to know whether or not you even want to bother. But bother. Even properties that may be overpriced or not even in your price range, because they may be in your price range. What I mean by that is, and we'll talk about seasoning in just a second, your job is to take a look at them. It's easy access to get in, guys, gals. Don't want to exclude you. Guys and gals, it's easy to get in. Why? We're the listing agent. Now, for all of them. We can get you in. Easy. Steve, has it been easy to get into them?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part?
It has.
Yeah. All you got to do is call me. John, what's the code? John, where's the key? You're in. You don't have to worry about anybody hassling you. Mm-hmm. Have to worry about anybody bugging you. I'm the listing agent. I can get you in any way I can quickly. Very, very quickly. And that's the name of the game. Steve and Dave, brand new to this group, they've been, for the last several days, they've been going out, looking at properties, calling me up saying, "How do we get into this one? I want to take a look at that one." Checking them out, getting ready to do something. That's how you do it. Because when you don't do that, here's what happens. Opportunities pass and they go to somebody else. And if that's okay, that's fine. But I'm just saying that if you don't put in a minimal effort in order to take a look at them, you won't be ready. So for those of you who are like chomping at the bit to do something, okay, it's time. It's time for you to do something. And the finances are not the issue. It's just finding that really great deal. Then just stay close to me. That's all you need to do. All right, so what I do, let me show you what my system looks like. It's very, very primitive, and it's very effective. This is the HUD sheet that I print out. I get some additional information that I go into the MLS and try to look and see if the house had sold in the past, if there was a property condition report from years ago, property condition report today, escrow notes, which explains what's wrong with the house and what needs to be replaced. And I staple this together and I put it in my file, and that file goes with me 24/7. And then I note changes. I know my marketing. I let let myself know what I've been doing, and also the price changes. Then on the back of it, this is where you want to end up. Right here. On the back of it is your name, your phone number, perhaps maybe the price that you would like to pay for it. Now this guy wanted to pay $15,500 for this house for $22,000. Okay? 134 Anderson Ave, and we're going to talk about the gentleman who purchased this. We'll talk about him now. Mark Everett's, this gentleman right here on the wall, he bought this house. It was on the market for $22,000. He paid $22,591. He overbid. And he used a weird three-digit number, just like I instructed him, just like I say in my book on how to do that. And so because there were potential, there was potential competition. So he got it. He overbid, but it was, well, the assessed value is $54,200. And the last time it was sold is in 1996 for $41,000, and they were asking $22,000. He's very, very pleased with his purchase. And so you want to get on the back. They wanted to pay $15,500 for it. They were a little bit too low for it. He grabbed it for that. And so when you are on the back of the sheet, it means that A, you've gone and looked at it. B, you have the funds. C, you got an idea of what price in mind. We've had this discussion. We talk about strategy. And then let's say we're waiting for it for the price to go down. And let me back up for a second. Property prices on HUDs go down, scheduled every 30 to 45 days. Like clockwork. 10%. Okay? Goes down 10%. You're waiting for it to hit that point. The day that it goes down in price, 24-hour bid period. I call you up. Hey, Marty, what's going on? Yeah. We're ready. It just went down. We're good. Let's do it. Okay, do it, John. He doesn't have to come to my office. He doesn't have to give me any money. 3 minutes later, I'm on the back office of the HUD store, and I put the offer in. We're done. Next morning, they open it up, and they tell us yes or no. There's no gains with HUD.
So what day do you put the bid in?
It's an any-day thing. Now, over the weekend, they count from Friday to Monday morning all one day. Okay, or you know what I mean, a period. But it's one day.
But if it's going down tomorrow.
If it goes down tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, put in bid on Wednesday, and then they open it up on Thursday.
Okay.
So price reductions are super, super, super huge because price reductions happen like popcorn. They happen on Monday. They happen on Friday. They happen on Wednesday. And even though they're 30 to 45 days, I can't time it to the moment. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm watching it. So that when it comes, Steve doesn't have to be watching it. This is where I come in. And then I call up, Steve, it just happened. Great, put it in, John. Click, done, next morning. You got it, Steve. All right. That's the system.
Just waiting for that scenario.
Yes, sir. That's right. And Steve was just saying he's waiting for that scenario. And the bottom line is, the more HUDs that come up, or, listen, if Steve's the only one in this room that does any shopping, at least among us, he's the one who's going to get the next one. If there's only 75 and there's one to be gotten, then Steve's going to increase his chances of being the one that gets it for a really good price. You know. Let's talk about bid strategy some more. This is where it gets really fun. All right. Let's use an example of a $100,000 house. HUD puts it on the market for $100,000. It's $20,000 overpriced for a user. Okay? Let's just say. HUD at that moment will take 10% less, so they'll take 90. Not good enough. You can be thankful when HUD overprices them, and they do it a lot. And the reason is that they can't be brutal like I can and add factors in like condition. I don't know why they don't. But condition and really reason, marketability, HUDs aren't very marketable. So there's a discount there that I think they can't use that I do. Because I'm not perfect, but I can pinpoint it better than the appraiser as far as what it's going to sell for. Part of it has to do with because I've I've sold over 400. I put 1,000 offers in, and I've seen everybody else's offers. Back in the day when they showed everybody's offer on a house that didn't get it, they had them all lined up, 10, 20 of them, 3, 1, whatever, how many came in. I was able to see all those, and so I computed them all these years, and you get a feel for it after a while. Okay, where was I here?
Bid strategies.
Bid strategies, yeah. So when they overprice that $100,000 house, you can go, yeah, that's good. That's good for us investors because no owner occupants will rush right in there and buy it. We had a property down on Grant, was it? The property was on the market. It was a three-family house, and they put it on the market for $17,000, and it was worth $40,000 in its as-is condition, $40,000 to $45,000. And I'm like going, oh man, they really underpriced this one. I had 10 offers come in on it. 10 offers. All over the board too. From people that wanted to pay 12. And the crazy boys, which are the middle one right here. That's not the property they bought. But these fellas here, I'll grab it. Now we'll highlight these guys here in just a second here. The crazy boys, as we call them, Josh and Paul, they ended up putting an offer in for 41 or 42, and they got it. It was worth every penny. They loved the house. It was in really good shape. And the next highest offer was, I think, 38. So you see, it can get competitive. And so, but these aren't the scenarios we're really looking for. Because there's like crazy people out there but insane offers that won't follow the certain rules. And I'll tell you what those rules are in just a second as far as bidding parameters, what people mostly do or don't do. But these guys have been buying. Oh, man, these guys are so cool. They're strategic in what they're doing. They're trying to stay out of debt as much as possible. And they are on the heels of Tom House. They can taste it, Tom. They want you so bad. They said, we want to be the 200th person on the wall, and we want to buy more than Tom. But they respect Tom, of course, and they think he's awesome. And these guys are doing a really great job. And this was a property on John Street. They bought it for... oh, golly, I can't remember if it was in the teens. I think it was. They put some money, not much money, maybe $10,000 into it. And they're getting like, I don't know, $800-900 bucks a month. And they love it. I mean, imagine buying a house for like, $17,000, putting $10,000 in, and then getting $900 bucks a month. I had somebody the other day who bought, his name is Keith. He bought a HUD home in Van Buren. And he put quite a bit of money into it and made it look like wow. And he was asking wow for it. He was asking top dollar because he did a tremendous job. Well, as good as the work that he did and as nice as area that it was and the reasonable price for it, it's still just nobody went for it. So he says, I can't wait around any longer, like Tom said, and he rented it. I'm not sure what he's getting, maybe $1,000. And he gets me on the phone. His money is tied up in it. But he gets me on the phone. He goes, John, I kind of like this. It's like a bank. It's just spitting out a grand every month. He has to pay taxes, of course, but he likes it a lot. So these guys, too, these guys are buying and holding, and they're renting. That's their strategy. Tom, how many properties you got now?
23.
How many units altogether?
34.
Okay, 34. Some of those are HUD homes?
Mm-hmm.
Few of them, right?
Probably a third.
Okay. All right. So, that $100,000 house, in 30 to 45 days, it goes down in price to 90. Now you can pick it up for 81. Okay? But you can also pick it up for 75, 76. HUD will do 15% when it goes down in price. This is what I want to talk to you about later. Okay, when it goes down in price once, it's been on the market, especially if they don't get a lot of offers, they'll go 15% under. So here's what's cool. This is where it gets exciting, darling. Say the house is not way overpriced. It's just kind of like, eh, Like we got a property on Hosmer Drive. Whatever, in Van Buren. It's at $66,000. It's okay, but it's not like great or anything, Hosmer is about to go down in price. It's $66,000. It's a ranch on a slab. It's about to go down in price. And when it does, it's going to go from 66 to 59 and some change. At that point, you can bid, in theory, 15% under and get it for 50 and some change. Now, for an owner-occupant, that's going to be awesome. For an investor, you got to go in there, like we talked about, and just kind of sharpen your pencil and see how much is it going to cost to fix it up, do a market analysis, or say, moderate fix-up, I'm going to rent this bad boy for $900 to $1,000, whatever the market will bear. So there's a couple of strategies there as far as price points. The flip, you got to get it for almost next to nothing. The buy and hold, you can get it for next to nothing. You don't have to be as severe, is what I'm getting at. Because if you do and you're trying, whether you're super frugal, cheap, whatever, and you're trying to do what your nature is telling you, and you're doing it because you want to flip, you may want to rethink. Kind of go up a little bit in your expectation as far as what you're going to pay for it. Not too crazy, but enough to be able to secure something, or you won't. Not until these get up there a little bit higher, okay? If you're okay to run around and look at these HUD homes and just keep throwing low offers in, you're going to get one. And you're going to get one probably at the price that you want it for. And I don't discourage you from doing it. I'm just saying, though, realistically speaking, there's a time element here. You know, some of us maybe have felt that a little bit more than others, depending on how old we are, you know? You only got so much time, so you want your moves to be as strategic as possible. And if you want to start generating income, you can't get too cheap or have too high of expectation as far as the discount that you're going to get on a house. You don't want to buy it just for the sake of buying it. I'll let you know when you're going to get yourself in trouble or if you're doing something, you know, that's not appropriate, you know, for an investor to do. Or even if you're listening to this and you're a homeowner, I won't do that to you. I will advise you as to what would be a good deal, a better deal, best deal scenario. Okay. So that $100,000 house, the $100,000 house now we can pick up for, it's gone down once, it's gone down to 90, all right? It's gone down the second month or so, down to 81, and now we can discount it 15%, and that comes up to 69. How's that sound? Well, if the property's worth 80, 69 might be pretty good. Or we may want to try 20% under. We can do that too, and sometimes that works. Sometimes. Let me tell you what I believe is the determining factor when it does work. One, they're not getting any offers from anybody else. If everybody's throwing in an offer, you know, then they go, we're only going to do the 10% thing, you know. But if there's like no offers and it's gone down twice, they may take a 20%. I've seen them do it. I've seen them do more than that, but not much more than that. There is a limit, okay? Let me talk to you about one more strategy. This is for you guys or gals that want to really play. Got the money, and you want to throw in low offers. It takes me 3 minutes to put it in. There's no paperwork involved. We do it right over the phone. I put in offers for people I haven't even met yet. I put offers for people who haven't even seen the house in just the video. Seriously. Not many, but I have. So, you know, with this electronic medium and everything, we can do a lot of work, you know, in a very, like I say, strategic way. So, let's say that Steve, you go and look at 10 houses, and, you know, you see one, you want to put it in. So we put in a low offer. Then 3 weeks later, you put another low offer on another HUD home. Okay? And I'll explain to you how the low offer works in just a second. Steve, you can continue doing that indefinitely. Now, if HUD says no, and HUD will say no to you all three times, okay? Let's just say that's the case. And they counteroffer you and it's still not good enough, but your offer's in there. Now, let's say HUD all of a sudden accepts your offer that you put in 2 months previous, and that happens, and I'll get to that in just a second. You know, it is possible for you to say no. You can say no. You may not want to, but you can say no. You know, you can play the game here without penalty is what I'm getting at. Okay.
How long will they keep those offers around?
Indefinitely.
Definitely.
And I can't tell you that there isn't a purge after 6 months or something, but typically everything's all said and done within 6 months to it. I've seen them go out as long as a year. Mm-hmm. You know, sell 2 months later, 3 months later, back on. you know, 6 months later back on. What was going on with his property? I mean, it was in the process of, oh, maybe it was a title issue, you know, put it back on. So, yeah, there are those occasional things that happen like that. By the way, here's a stat for you. 10 to 50% of all HUD homes that get sold go back on the market. 10 to 50%, 5-0. And the reason why is because people fail in financing. They fail in the financing part of it. You'd be surprised what happens. A lot can happen. Okay, so back to our $100,000 scenario. Now we're down to $69,000. That ain't too bad. So we were at 81. Well, let's say we do a 20%er. That's $16,000. That's $65,000. $65,000 may be the magic number. All right? So it's okay if they're overpriced. It's okay if and usually if they're beat up really bad, owner-occupants stay away. And then it takes the one with the vision to be able to do it. The one with who has the capability to fix them up. Okay? All right. So now, let's talk about one of my favorite techniques. And this is the... We'll use Steve again here for a second. Steve just put a $60,000 offer on our $100,000 property that just came down to 81. He went beyond 20%. Okay? And let's just say you did that when it was in the extended period when it was at 100,000. All right? It's gone through a couple of price reductions, maybe even sold and went back on the market. Okay? Steve's just sitting pretty. Just kind of hanging out, doing his thing, looking at other HUD homes. He knows he's got a $60,000 offer on this one. He's saying, man, that would be awesome if we could get that. And then they lower it to 81. Then they lower it again. Or maybe it sells and they put it back on the market and they lower it as they put it back on the market. I've seen him do that too. And all of a sudden I get an email. Okay, they lower it to 72 and 14 or 20% of that is 58 and they take Steve's offer for 60. So 2-3 months previous, Steve had put an offer in for 60 and when they got it down to 72, before they brought it down to 72, I've seen them do this. I forgot about this. When it's still 81 and they're ready to lower it to 72, they give it to Steve for 60. Now, when you put an offer in, first you got to understand something. I'm the listing agent, our company is the listing agent, for all of the HUD homes in Central New York right now. We used to only have, anyway, it doesn't matter what we did in the past, but right now we are. And so from Oneida, Madison, Cayuga, Onondaga, and Oswego County, we pretty much get all the HUD homes in that territory. And so... What's unique about HUD home bidding is that I am not privy. Darlene, if you go to XYZ Real Estate and put an offer in on one of our HUD homes, I won't know it. As a listing agent, I won't know it. It's electronically done privately, put through the realtor's back office on the HUD website, and I won't know a thing about it. The next morning, I'll get an email that a realtor sold our HUD home listing for X amount of dollars. Congratulations to Darlene. Okay. So because I don't know any of the offers going in and they don't know anything about what I'm doing, what am I getting at? Let's see, I lost my train of thought here. But I just wanted to let you know that because during the bidding process, you know, sometimes you wonder, we'll talk about the trust factor here and then we'll get back to our scenario. You know, is somebody doing something underhanded? With the HUD homes, you can't do anything underhanded. The listing agent doesn't know if there's any competing bids going in. The proverbial underhandedness is when I'm the listing agent, and I've got this veil of, or cloak of secrecy or protection in front of me. I have the power. And Steve is my client. And Steve comes in and says, hey, I hear you have a bank foreclosure. I'm calling Steve. Steve, I got this bank foreclosure. They're asking 40. Steve goes, okay. I said, I got two other offers. What are the other offers? One's for 32 and one's for 33. Well, I'll put mine in for 34. Do you think that's at least happened once in the history of real estate? How would you feel, though, about that? I mean, that's not... No. Well, even if I wanted to do that, I can't because HUD won't let me. Matter of fact, I've been in situations where I've had three offers go in by three separate people on the same property. And that's fun. I love doing that. I even had four one time come in through me. Well, I guess you could count the one that we did in the city as 10 coming in, but typically, you know, I even had one where they came in, they bid an odd number or whatever, but it was not necessarily that odd because they both tied. So what HUD was doing, they tied. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, and I am poker faced when I'm doing this too. And I'm like going, how in the world did that happen? So I asked HUD, what are you guys going to do? And they said, well, we wrote names on a slip of paper, we put it in a hat, and we drew one out. That's how they determined it. I don't know how, you know, the robot does it now. It's all software that does it unless a human needs to get involved. So
I've seen your videos on some homes that were listed by other agents.
Yes.
How was that?
Up until just recently, okay, the question is, how is it that in my videos, these HUD homes were listed by other people? And HUD doesn't mind us marketing other people's listings. It's one of the only organizations in the world that doesn't mind it. So I take it upon myself to go in like a Consumer Reports advocate. I go in and I tell like it is, you know. I still do it even with my own listings.
So you know? The other agent, the other offices are not HUD agents. You're the one.
No, they are. They were.
They were HUD.
They were. Somebody dropped the ball and we stepped in November. That's what happened. Okay. October. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's how we were able to do that.
The scenario is going to stop, right? We won't see that
anymore. Yeah, matter of fact, from almost from this point forward, there's only two left. There's the one over Jarrett Road and Cole Road, and that's it, you know. So Steve, this is what. So Steve has his offer in at $60,000 in the very beginning with the $100,000 house scenario. Okay, now here's what's so beautiful about it. Every time that somebody puts an offer in from another company, let's say they counteroffered you at $90,000. Let's say two more people put $70,000 and a $50,000 offer in when it was at $100,000. Okay, I'm going to get two emails offering you a counteroffer on the property for $90,000. They email everybody that's put an offer in, the counteroffer.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's five people that put low offers in it when it was $100,000 and it goes down in price a couple of times, and then they decide to offer it, counteroffer you, even though you haven't really said anything to them in months, they'll counteroffer you a certain price, they'll give you the opportunity. If you're the only one, then it's yours. If you're the only one, they may all of a sudden tap you on the shoulder and say, it's yours for this amount that you put it in for months ago. If not, they will keep offering you with counteroffers as they lower it, counteroffer. Lower it, counteroffer. And sometimes those counteroffers are 10%, 15%, once in a while 20%. And they're asking you, do you want it for 20% under? And I call you up with a number. I said, Steve, do you want it for this number? So when you put a low offer in, it doesn't, and they counteroffer it, it doesn't end there. Your work that you put into, scouting it out, watching the video, going inside, getting the key, looking, calling me, telling me what you're thinking of it, get on the back of my list, it's not in vain. There's more potential, it's much more dynamic, and there's more potential for success than any other type of property out there. Has anybody here ever put an offer on a bank-owned foreclosure? Okay. Did you get it? You got it. Okay. Have you ever put an offer on one that you didn't get? You were. Congratulations, Darlene. The guy that bought 19 from me, that same year he put four offers on four Home Path properties, which we're going to be talking about next month. And he didn't get any one of them. He used the same calculations, same formulas. I sold him three of those 19 like within 2 weeks, within a week or 2 weeks. Their system is such. And I'll explain. There's some good things about Home Path. I'll explain with those and I'll explain the pitfalls.
I went over the calculation. That's why.
What's that?
I got the property because I went over the calculation. Everybody calculated it. I went in and looked at the place. I said, somebody came in, flipped it, and couldn't sell it and lost it.
Oh.
So I put in an offer over. I got it.
There you go.
Before I made my first payment, I had a owner occupant in it.
Okay. So that worked for you. But you bid slightly over the asking price? Is that what you did? Okay.
No. I bid asking. Under the asking.
Oh, okay.
But over what everybody else was bidding.
Yes. That's, yeah. And
I didn't have to do a thing to it. Except for a sign in the window.
Just let me see how we're doing here. Good. All right. Do we have any? You guys have any questions at this point? Any questions at all? You can understand why I'm so hot about these, because they're the only ones that have the potential here, and everybody out there hates doing them. They're forced into doing them. That's what they feel. I talked to them on the phone. Now that I'm the listing agent, I can even get more feedback now. John, I haven't done one of these in years. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to get you the contract? What paperwork do I use? They're confused. I help them as much as I can. We also do teleseminar trainings 5 times a year for realtors, you know, as much as we kind of encourage them, and you know, but they just don't like doing them. Okay.
What makes you think that 2015 they're going to have more listings?
I'm only.
It's kind of a gut feel.
Oh, you know, Steve, some of the people have been coming here for years would laugh at that question because I've been saying it for 4 years now, right, Tom? Have I been not saying this at the meetings that the HUDs are about to? You know, it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it just has to. It's like filling water with a balloon. At some point, the balloon's got to burst. You just don't know when, you know. And unfortunately, I can't see the balloon filling up because there's no indication as far as, other than seeing a ton of abandoned houses out there, seeing that HUDs are coming. I'm assuming that based on the fact that we've had 200 to 300 of a year in Onondaga County, and I haven't seen hardly any at all. And they got to be accumulating. They have to be, you know. All right, so I'm going to end the presentation this evening. I want to thank you all for coming tonight. And those of you who have any questions about HUD homes or any other property in New York State, give us a call. 315-695-6434. You guys have been awesome tonight. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening.